The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Praise the name of the Lord. God is raising an army. And you must take your place in the plan and the program of God. You must learn to take your place in the plan and the program of God. God wants us to have the kind of spirit that His Son has. The man of God, Pastor Thompson, was saying that we are to follow after Christ. In the afternoon, we follow after. Jesus is given to us as an example so that we can follow after. He said, let this mind also be in you as it is in Christ Jesus. And if we are going to follow after, you need capacity. You need to develop strength for you to be able to follow after Christ. And God wants people who will take this message to the next level, who will move the torch of kingdom advance to the next phase, so there is no place for this end of the age. There are two kinds of people in the church. People watch things happen, and those who make things to happen. So I don't know the category you belong to, but it's time for you to wake up and begin to get more responsible in the spirit. This is the time that God wants our faculties to be elevated so that we begin to capture the truth of Christ about our salvation, and this will burn in our heart the love for God. He said, I will take my words and I will put it, I will engrave it. So God is burning some things into our heart. And that's the truth of Christ. Amen and amen. Some of us, it may take a while before we begin to understand some of these things. Understand? And some of us, we begin to pick it up because we are more open, you know, to God. We are more open to God. God do not want us to serve Him, doing anything for Him, just because we want to do it. But we are doing it because it is the will of God for our lives. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. You like to turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17. Glory to God. God actually wants us to be people who are so passionate about the plan and the purpose of God. People who are so passionate about the glory of God. Something really touches our heart, and that's what we are living for. We want to see the kingdom of this world become the kingdom of our God and His Christ. We are people who are really sold out unto God. You understand? We have given our all unto Him. We want to see His kingdom and His purposes advance on the planet earth. Glory to God. The Bible says, hope deferred make the heart to be sick. But when the desire is granted, it shall be like a tree of life. There is a reason for our calling. There's a reason why God separated us unto Himself. The book of Titus chapter 2 made it clear to us that God has a purpose for our life. He's aware of our past, and He wants us to be mindful of what He wants us to be doing for Him in the now, And you also have a plan for us in the future. And most importantly, he said he has given himself unto us, glory to God, so that he can have a people that he can call his own, glory to God, eager for everything that is good, glory to God. That's the peculiarity of our calling, because we have come to realize that God, who gave himself to us, who have brought us unto himself, he wants to use us to promote his interest, to be the extension of his agenda, plan, and program on earth. Like he said to the children of Israel, that he wants them to be a showstock to the world. He wants them to live a life of praise. What we have today is people want to show off, but we don't have people who are ready to show forth the praise of Christ. So he has called us so that they can show forth his praise. And we are going to see this kind of coloration in different assemblies, in different churches. And we used to misunderstand this, you know, and present it to people as the church is marching on. Hallelujah. That is where we sell it out to the people that our number determines our strength. You know, when we have a place where you have cars that are parked everywhere, you are creating traffic. Like one man of God said some years back, he said, how do you know that a church have arrived in town when you are not creating traffic? And there's traffic congestion, and you see different kind of people coming to the place. You understand? You know, begin to lower our guard. We begin to dilute the message to be able to accommodate some of these, you know, guys, you understand, business tycoons, these politicians, glory to God. And when you get to the office of some pastors, what you are going to see is when he's shaking hands with the governor, he's shaking hands with the... That's how the church is marching on. Even when you don't even preach any message to the governor. Glory to God. I've had people say things like that before. You understand? Just say, I'm so glad my dream in life as a pastor is to meet the president of the country. That's his dream. It's not to win souls for Christ. So he's now doing Thanksgiving that at last he met with the president. They used to fly him from one place to the other with a private jet. He said, I said, me. You know, the kind of song you now sing that time. You know, there's give me a Yoruba song you sing when you get it. Oluwa ti se, emi lo lope, you know. Eni ta ro pe ko le pago. You understand? You know, he's happy, glad. That is the peak of success and fulfillment in ministry. Glory to God. So we are not called to show off. We are called to show forth not our own praise, but the praise of him called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is what we are committed to, and you have to be militant about it. You know, the spirit that God is transferring onto us today is the spirit that makes you to be militant. Glory to God. It's a spirit. Although God is using that as a metaphor, you understand, to show us, you know, how he wants us to walk with him. You understand? But God is releasing the spirit, the impartation. You know, the impartation is coming. And I know tonight will be a night of impartation for you. Amen. We're going to have fresh baptism tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You know, you will not have a desiccal attitude to all the things of God. You'll be militant about it. You know, you'll be militant about it. You'll be militant. You are going to stand with it to the end. Glory to God. That is God's expectation of us. So God wants us to brace up. Amen and amen. He wants us to brace up. God wants us to brace up. It's not a kindergarten class any longer. The honeymoon is over. It's time for us to begin to face the reality of this marriage, of this relationship. You know, people want relationship, but they don't want the responsibility of that relationship. So your relationship with God, you understand, is putting you in a position whereby you'll be able to take up responsibility in the kingdom of God. Lest you begin to say, I'm born again, and say, I'm just happy for my salvation. No, it's not enough for you to say that. May you not receive the name of the Lord in vain. Why? Because God at once helped you. So God wants you to go out there and help others. Glory to God. You know, I notice sometimes that there are people that when you look at their Facebook page, you don't see anything about Christianity there. You don't see anything about church there. You don't see anything, you see, because everybody wants to say things, you know, that is popular, that is socially acceptable. Nobody wants controversy. Nobody wants, you know, somebody that begin to query you. This is the move of God this end time is going to be controversial. Glory to God. And it can never be socially acceptable. And you don't want something, you understand, that will make your friends to say you are not politically correct. You understand? It's like you are driving against the traffic. You are driving against. That's the calling of God. God wants us to live as counteractive people. You know, that's the way we used to live before. We live for ourselves, but now we are to live for Him. And counteractive people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I love the expression that Pastor Thompson used. You understand that it's not to say you now go all around the place and begin to do everything the negative. You know, I just say, I just want to show them that if they are going that way, I decide not to go that way. You know, then there are people like that. Glory to God. Amen and amen. In other words, there is a kind, that's a pattern of life you are used to. You understand? And the call of God upon your life today is calling you to live in a different way. Now, you can say no to sin, deny all ungodliness. Glory to God. So, you should be able to stand and say no to some things in your life. Glory to God. That's living as counteractive people. To be able to silence the adversary in your flesh. Glory to God. You know, the voice of the enemy, the suggestion of the enemy. You begin to say no to it. I'm not going in that direction. God is not calling us to follow the trend of our generation. God called upon our life, place a demand on us. You understand? To follow His dream and His vision for our life. Not what is popular. Not what is socially acceptable. Not what every other person is doing. You know, I've noticed some people that, you understand, when they see that is what every other person is doing, you understand, they now say, okay, since majority are not always right.
Yes,
in those days, even when you have ideas in the class, it takes the bold guys, you understand, the courageous one, you understand, to take the lead. The moment that one stand up like this and we say some jargon, you understand, then you say the right thing. But we were there all along, we are not saying anything. There was a guy like that in our class, you understand, and we are treating a different topic. And the moment the lecturer begins to tell you that, this and that, it will take everybody away from that focus for the day, you understand, to another thing. After he has finished his own, you understand, everybody will now begin to stand up. You can take the lead in your generation. Hallelujah. You can have the courage that is required, you understand, to follow God's direction for your life. To follow after your conviction, not waiting on others. Paul said, he said, I confer not with flesh and blood. Because everybody is doing it, you understand, does not mean you have to do it. If you are the ones, you understand, who judge by outward appearance, who they are, mean nothing to me. It doesn't add to my message.
God. So I'm not taking my decision based on what someone said, based on what someone is doing, based on, you understand, the personality of the person that is saying it. I'm doing it because God has instructed me to walk that way. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Following God's order, following God's directive for your life is a must. It's a must. And that's why in the church today, we have this kind of personality worship. Because so and so pastor said it, that's why we are doing it. Glory to God. So any pastor can declare prayer and fasting. Any pastor can say something, can they prophesy, everybody will just take it. Just like that. You understand? Because of their personality. And you see today that most of these men, they are not building their credibility with God. You understand? But they are building their outward man. So that when you look at them on the outside, glory to God, and you begin to rate them and say, if Baba so and so can say it, I think it must be right. One bishop said sometimes ago, you understand, he said the meaning of bishop is, you know, it's right reverend. And you know what right reverend means? Right reverend means everything you now do is right. Right. These are the people that along Bafu, you understand, God have now given them the authority to live life as they like. And God have proved it. I'm not saying he said it directly like that. You understand? But he said, right reverend. So you can't query my authority. Even Paul said, follow me in the manner that I follow Christ. It shows that you personally must have a functional relationship with God. You must come to know your own God. Hallelujah. So not because of that personality. Not because of that personality. I have a friend some years back, you understand, but after a while I have to just move away. Glory to God. You know, I said, bro, if God tells you to leave that church today and go and start something for him, he said, God cannot say it. He said, where will I start from? Well, he has built houses, he has properties everywhere. When he's doing his birthday, he can write 50 books. He has big men, rich men in his assembly. You understand? He will launch those things. And I said, you write 50 books just for one birthday. You understand? People are already paying, even when the books are not ready. You understand? The publisher will rush it and just bring some stuff to the place and people begin to, and money is flowing everywhere. Glory to God. So even if God tells me, and you see, they are riding on the wings of same personality. You've got to build your own height, your own strength, your own stature of Christ. One of the things they have used to deceive us in those days, you understand, is that you can ride on the shoulder of the prophet or the leader. You understand? So they can take you to places when you keep following them. You follow them because they are following Christ. Glory to God. Listen to me. If you're a senior advocate of Nigeria and your son said, oh, I want to be a legal practitioner and I love this kind of thing you do, daddy, say a lot of money is coming in there. He said, that's what I want to become. And your child will sit down at home. He will go to school. He wants to inherit his daddy's chamber. So you have the responsibility to grow your own eyes. You know where you are going in life. It's something that is personal to you. You cannot do it based on inheritance. You understand? You may just like it, you may love it, but you can never be there. You need training to get to that place. If that is what you want, if that's what God really wants for your life, you have to be trained to become that thing. Glory to God. So when we were young, we used to sing that, I want to be like Jesus. You understand? It's very easy to make mouth say you want to be like Jesus. You have the training of Jesus. You don't want to be trained like Jesus. You don't want to learn obedience. You don't want to go through the scrutiny of the Spirit. You understand? You don't want to learn, you know, that sense of restraint in your life. You don't want to go through all of those proto-spiritual protocol. You don't want to go through process and you want to be like Jesus. You know, it is impossible. There's no way you can fulfill purpose if you are not ready to go through the process. Praise the name of the Lord. So God wants the church that is strong, that is so passionate about his glory. A church that is fully and totally committed unto him. And God have his eyes on you. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord is on the faithful in the land. Glory to God. So if you are showing a sign of faithfulness and commitment to God, God's eyes is on you. God is marking you out. David never knew that God was watching him. God said, boy. Oh boy. He said, I have found a man after my own heart. Glory to God. But he never knew that somebody was watching him from the distance. The same way God is watching you from the distance and God's eyes is on you, because God's eyes is on you, you understand? You need a specialized training. And that is what we pastors, you know, have to learn. When people come into our life, we don't have to be emotional about it. God is only saying, raise this man for me. Glory to God. You know, there's a way you raise men for yourself. That's the way you raise men for the kingdom. Most times you feel, well, if these people have money, they are making it here and there, they become a big politician, and all of this, this will be so helpful to the church. That's the way you are raising them. You are not raising them for the kingdom. You are not raising them for the owner, for their owner. Glory to God. The one who owns them. The one who owns their life. The one who paid the price for their sins. Glory to God. So God wants us to be strong and ready to take responsibility in the kingdom of God. Let's go to that scripture. Glory to God. 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. Let's read from verse 9. That was the time when Goliath was trying to release some negative words that can make the heart of men to fail, creating fear and panic in the land. Then at a point, he drew a line. He said, bring someone to come and face me. If that person can beat me to it, then you become the captain. But if not, then you live your life in subjugation to me. Glory to God. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. So we must not allow the enemy to keep taunting and harassing the whole land for 40 days and 40 nights till the heart of every man in the land failed them. That was what he did. For 40 days, you keep saying the same thing. Bring someone, let him come and face me. And I tell you, there are skillful men there. There are men who have been to the best, you understand? They've been to the best military school. They have the best military training. You understand? They have the experience. They have the exposure. They have every other thing to themselves. I'm saying this tonight because I believe God is communicating something to us in the church. For how long are we going to allow the enemy to keep driving us mad, that everyone, you understand, we are withdrawn onto our shell. Most of us, we hide in the caves. You know, in the story of Gideon, men were hiding in the caves because of the oppressors. You understand? They can't show their face any longer. So, listen to me. Then you say, God don't have answer to all of these things. You are that answer. You are that answer. I pray that God will make you to be an answer to the present predicament that we have in this nation. We talk about the problem. We are looking up to others to help us solve the problem. A man of God preached a message some years back. He said there's no free freedom. Because if others have to fight it out for you so that you can have the freedom, you may end up becoming slaves to those people. These are things that doesn't really touch most of us. We have an indifferent attitude. Heaven is not even concerned about this. You know what the kind of game that we play in the church today is that when it comes to national affairs, is that, you know, God, let me just, that I'll be able to get something done and something will happen in my own family. May it not happen to me. If you have been to the mountain to pray before, you understand, the prayer that we pray on the mountain as Christian is, oh, Uluwa, Jekin Rite Mishi. Let it be well with me, with my children, with my family, so that even some of them will travel abroad and they will leave this country and let them go and face it. In other words, we are not concerned over things that is giving God great concern. God wants us to begin to share his concern. God wants us to begin to share his heartbeats. And you see someone sharing the heartbeat of God, and he has a spirit that is so passionate for God. David said, until righteousness is established in the land, he said, I will not give myself any sleep or any rest. Glory to God. How many of us, we do pray that God, let righteousness be established in this nation. That is what we want. That's why that battle is not our battle. It's the Lord's battle. We want to see righteousness play out in this nation. We want to see our leaders live a life of integrity. We want them to live a life of honesty. With all the skill set of those guys, understand, they cannot fight or face the monster that is called Goliath. The type of the monster called Goliath in our country today, you understand, is corruption. Corruption that have grown up to an epidemic proportion. It has entered, you understand, into the fabrics of our soul. So everyone, you understand, is thinking about, oh, I'm going to get there, I'm going to make my home. I was privileged to be in the same vehicle with a guy sometimes ago, about two or three of them. They are in the university and they were sharing. They said, ah, do you think I just say I want to be an accountant? That's why most of those men today have become a knowledgeable demon. So you must not settle down just for knowledge. You must go for virtue. You must go for virtue, not knowledge. You know, when you see people that have knowledge, you begin to praise them. You begin to idolize them. You understand? You parade your credentials before the people. Nobody employ you today if you don't have a CV. And you are going to, you know how to build your CV. Nobody cares the kind of person you are. Nobody is looking at the direction of your character. You understand? You are an accountant. When you see an accountant, you understand? When every other person has closed and is still in the office, inside air conditioner, you understand? He's still sweating. Something is wrong. Because that's the simplest thing to do. You understand? We make 500,000. We spend 400,000. The balance is 100,000. Then now they go, oh, miscellaneous. Looking for adjective to qualify that thing you want to do. You understand? You begin to check the dictionary. You understand? And see where you can hide and make some money. And listen, the devil is no respecter of person. I've seen people who have been DG, you understand, of a parastata, you understand, who we have to collude together with, you know, petrol attendants. DG. Even if he's handing 500,000, you know, it's expensive. Who knows, maybe he's also high, you know, a kind of political position in the future. Then we now stay back there, you understand? He said, the receipt. He said, oh, yeah. How much diesel do we buy? He said, 20,000. He said, right, 50,000. That's the way the devil wants us to live. That's the way the devil wants us to live. But it's time for us to begin to live for God. And I said, you will live for his purpose. I said, you will live for his purpose. So there's a monster that is called corruption. It's beyond what the EFCC people can handle. Because they themselves are corrupt. if we leave all of these things into the hand of the politician, listen to me, the whole thing will collapse on our head one day. So we've got to rise up and take up that challenge. Listen to me, and you've got to prepare yourself for it. You must have this understanding that God is preparing me for something. God will not just pick you up and put you there. When you know where you are going, if you want to read medicine, you understand, by the time you get to SS class, you begin to make some choice of subjects, you understand? You want to read medicine and you are doing CRS. History. Government. So it's good that you are aware of where God is taking you. Then you begin to prepare for it. You will read like no man business. But because you know the cutoff point for medicine is always different. It's highly competitive. Highly competitive. You've got to read like no man. You must say, you must be someone that has brain. Glory to God. And while you are burning the candle and you are doing all of those, it's because you know where you are going. You know what you want to become. Most times, because we want to become a medical doctor, we know what we do, we know how much we put into it. But what God wants you to become for Him, when He called Peter, He said, I will make you to become. So we want to become every other thing except what God wants to make out of our life. Since we know it, we set that agenda before us, you understand, and begin to walk through it. Because we know what God wants to bring about in and through our life. Amen and amen. God is releasing strength into you. Amen. So what the brothers of David could not do, you understand? David takes up that heroic challenge. So I want us to read further. Glory to God. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. You know, there are some things that are called corporate lies. They are institutional lies. It has become a tradition. So when you want to take contracts from government, you understand, you already know they don't need to tell you. It is the tradition. That certain percentage should go to this. This one should go to that other one. So you already know. It has become something that is statutory. It has been institutionalized. It has become, you understand, an order of public policy. So no discussion. If you are going to discuss anything, it's going to be something outside of that. But see, this kind of man, this new breed without greed that God is raising, you understand? They are going to turn down the culture. Things that men will tell you, they told Paul, they said, you know, this man is teaching us to do things that are not customary. Something we are not accustomed to. Something that we don't practice here. What kind of teaching is that? The same way God wants us to shake our generation for God. Tearing them up to return unto God. We are the generation of people, you understand, who will turn the kingdom of this world to the kingdom of our God and His Christ, so that we can see Him rule and reign forever and ever. Amen and amen.
Amen.
We are world shakers. And that's why you must be ready for action. Everywhere that Paul ministered, there's either a revival or a riot. You must be prepared for it. But the message must be preached. The message is there. What of the messenger? So God is working on the messenger today. You understand? Who will preach this message of liberation? Who will take up territories for God? Who will push back the forces of darkness? And you are that, but God's eyes is on you. Don't run away from it because You don't want people to criticize you. You don't want people to talk about you. You don't want to be in the black book of some people. You understand? You want to be a nice person. You want everybody to like you. So, I mean, these are civilian spirits. Are you a politician? Politicians want everybody to like them, even when they know they are deceiving them. And if you don't want to like them, you will like them by force. You don't like me? Means I don't like your face. But I need you to like me. And you've got to like me by force. So don't try to be politically correct. You are not a friend to everyone. Jesus was rejected by the people of his hometown. I was sharing with someone sometimes. I said, if Jesus himself, sorry to say this, you understand? You know, if Jesus, we have to go to some of these political parties for primaries, you understand? And some of the, what do you call them now? Delegates. They have once been raised from the dead. I tell you, you may still not have any vote if you not put dollar on top. He said, Oshé Ojeso, that you raised me from the dead. But you know this is business now. And it's just once in a while, another 4 years. Wait till you go put on top. If Jesus no put dollar, delegate no go vote. Oh.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Says the Spirit, they can't be your standard. They can't create the standard. They don't have what it takes to create the measuring line, for they don't have it. They don't have it and they can't create it for you. You must look upon the wisdom of the gospel and hewn a righteousness higher than the righteousness that the world can appreciate and know today. A righteousness higher that the world have to follow after to learn and to seek to attain to. You must look to the gospel. You must look to the gospel and hewn out a righteousness which I am working in the church, which I now reveal, which I now unveil, a righteousness which now I show forth. I teach you righteousness. I teach you righteousness. Don't look at the world. You can't find a standard from them. They will never endorse your standards, and you will never find a standard with them. You have been put at cross purposes, and there is no point you are going to align. So keep learning my righteousness. Keep gazing at my word. Keep raising the banner. Keep raising. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be scared of their faces. Don't be scared of their desires. They don't know what they want. Oh, don't be afraid of them. I am raising you. I am raising you to be higher than the evil in the world. To be higher than the wicked one that has possessed the earth with unrighteousness. Keep gazing and keep learning. For righteousness must be revealed if it will transform you and transform your world.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Samuel 17. You see there. There's something in the line that the Holy Spirit just dropped in my spirit. That every step of obedience is a product of a prayer battle. Every step of obedience is a product of a prayer battle. A battle that has been fought in the spirit and has been won. And that is why some of us are here tonight. And that is why some of us remain in God's will for our life. Now, we must not allow Goliath to draw the line. Because Jesus Christ himself drew a line. You are either for or against. He said, when Saul and all the Israelites heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They were what? Dismayed and greatly afraid. Fear gripped them. He said, we face this one. When people start talking to you about the level of corruption that is going on in this country, you say, ah! That's why some of us now have the opinion that, well, if you cannot beat them, better join them. I've seen Christians, you understand? When they know the development in our political system and our election and everything, they're still congratulating one another. Yeah. It's free and fair. Yeah. Born again Christian pastors.
Yes, sir.
Now, it shows that we have tried to edge God out of the world that he has created by himself. We have always said to ourselves, God is the God of the mountain and not the God of the valley. And yet, he's the God of the whole universe. He said, the heaven and the fullness thereof belongs unto him. They were dismayed. When people begin to hear that they are going to carry Oru, only a few people will show face. But we want righteousness to be established in the land. And the devil don't want it. That's why he's keeping that revelation of his love away from us. That's the reason why he will not want Christ to take his rightful place in our life. Because until you see Christ reign and enthrone in our heart, there's no way you can displace all these workings of Satan. When his throne is established in our heart, it is only then that his purposes can be fulfilled on the heart. When there's no more contention, there's no more controversy about the place of Christ as the one who owns us by the virtue of creation and the virtue of redemption. Nobody's contesting for that place any longer. I belong to you, Lord. I am yours. I trust my life into your hand. I'm committed to your purposes on earth. I've come to glorify you. That's what I'm living for. We are no longer living for self. This revelation of Christ will bring us to a place whereby, you understand, we can no longer live for self again. He said the love of God compels us. It's a restraining factor. It's not all about what you like or what you want, but what God wants for your life. That's what you are committed to. You are not seeking your own interest. You are seeking God's interest in your life. It's no longer controversial. That's why what I mean when I say, when his throne is established, friendship is established in our heart, then his purposes. God is yet to see people, you understand, that we devote themselves fully unto God. I say, Lord, take your rightful place. The devil may not stop you from coming to church, but he will not allow Christ to take his place of preeminence over your life. He will challenge God's authority. He said, you don't own him, I own him. So if you are not strong in the word of God to tell him that you have been purchased with the price, you have been redeemed, you have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God, their son. He said, you cannot fight back. Because you just become so mute. Because the oppressor will come and begin to, harass you, to intimidate you. You understand that? You don't even need the devil to talk most times. He will only need to show you precedents of people who have gone ahead of you. He said, look at this one. Look at this one. Look at how he ended. So-and-so is still in prison today. That other one is in chains. We carry that body, we put him for his backyard, he's in trouble. Then you think twice. So when we talk about God racing and harming, we are talking about people who are not out there to protect their personal interest. They have signed out their life to live for the kingdom of God. They have come to the place of understanding of their relationship with God. What brought some of us to this relationship? Most of us are not aware of it. So we've never allowed Christ to touch our heart. As a song we used to sing in those days. Omo eniyan wi fun mi kini kin tu se fun o mo jala ilese mo ku bi elese. So let me also challenge you today. What else do you want Christ to do for you? You that you are aliens and far away from the kingdoms, you that you have been sentenced to doom and damnation, the Bible says the blood of Jesus has brought us nigh unto God. And God also has a promise of eternal salvation for us. You that you don't have any future, and it cost him his blood. He gave up himself so that you can come to where you are today. That's why when we sing the song, no one else can touch my heart as you do. I have searched through all eternity, oh Lord. I found there is none like you. So, no one else can touch our heart. Do you have such encounter in your life? Because today you see people preaching the word of God. I was in so-and-so place. I gave a prophecy and somebody become a millionaire. And say, now, after that, you now say, oh, if you want to give your life to Jesus before I count three, rush to this place. You don't want to be a millionaire. They are rushing out because they want to be a millionaire. They have not fully realized what Christ has done for them. So God's intention is that we know the truth about our salvation. We must come to the realization of this. There's a place where you begin to realize. You know, it may take a while. Say, it is true. So he wants all men to be saved and to come to the realization of the truth that there's only one mediator between man and God. His name, Jesus Christ. The one who have mediated, you understand, between you and God to bring you to a place of reconciliation. Now you have peace with God. And you don't want to trade that peace for anything. You that you are always filled with guilt and condemnation. But now, you have peace with God. But it cost someone his blood. We read John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So that those who believe will not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. So God has promised us everlasting life. He gave all that he has to bring us to where we are. Not because we're worth it. Not because, you know, we walk towards it. Not because we are righteous. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 that even when we are helpless, we are yet sinners. Nobody wants to put any price on our head. He redeemed us from the slave market. And the price he paid was his precious blood. That's why I want this to begin to touch your heart. That's the foundation of your faith. How did you get to where you are today? If you don't know how you get to where you are today, there's no way you can stand. He said, let us therefore stand in the liberty we are in Christ. You don't know how you get to that place. Through his death, you understand, he make all your sins to be written off. He said, if your sin is as red as a scarlet, he will watch it to be as white as a snow. You carry the sinful nature. You also live a sinful life. So your sin even have stars. It's a double-dyed, you know, material. In those days, you want to die. I do tie and dye. You understand? You will soak that thing inside arrow, dye, overnight with hot water and some chemical substance. And when that thing change color, then you begin to apply some all other flowers. You understand? You begin to use wax to make some treadings and some things on it. Glory to God. So even if your sin is double dyed, you will wash it to be as white as a... That is what the blood of Jesus did for us. So listen, Now, let me give you money and I return all your sin so that you'll be carrying the load of your sin. You even know the person that gave you that advantage is someone who is not a sinner. He who knew no sin became sin so that you can become the righteousness of God. Glory to God. Look at someone by your side. What else do you want me to do for you? Because what I gave you, no other person can give it to you. They can give you salvation, but they cannot give you eternal salvation. What he purchased for us is eternal redemption. That's why you see that people go to even, they are even doing deliverance in the mosque now. People are falling under the anointing in the mosque. They are casting out devils in the mosque. Well, they can save you from those things. They can deliver you. But Jesus was so humorous about it in that parable. He said, will they also give you eternal life? Will they also give you eternal life? So I've given what others cannot give you. That's what made God to be the only true God. He said, this is life eternal. That you know the only true God and his son, Jesus Christ. So his son gave us the understanding of the nature and the character of the Father. This is life eternal. Where there is no life eternal, God is not involved. Because our salvation is dependent on that life. If we are going to be free, the hold of Satan is going to be as a result of that life that is in us. So all that we needed have been given unto us. He said, I am come that you may have life and have it more abundant. That's not the kind of life you were born with, but the life of heaven. So you cannot live a life of heaven on heart. You cannot serve the interest of heaven on heart. You understand? If you don't have the life of the Father. He said, our Father in heaven, our Lord be thy name, thy kingdom come. When you begin to respond to the call to be enlisted into the armies of God, it shows that you have begun to see God as your Father in heaven. So that cannot just be something you think about, something you want to do. It's something God has planted in your heart. Glory to God. I pray that this moment will be a moment of encounter for you. He said, when the foundation is destroyed, he said, what will a righteous man do? I know a good coach, we have to take us back to the foundation, the fundamental. How did you get to where you are today? How did you get to where you are today? I read the story of a young girl. You understand that when his great grandfather, you understand, went to the, you know, to the battlefield, you understand, and he won. He killed a lot of people, you understand. They won the battle for their nation and all of those things, you understand. And he has this pendant that is holding. That's the sign of victory. That is the booty of war that he has. And down the line, you understand, this man, we have to pass it down to the next generation. To the third generation, to the fourth generation. When they're about to die, you see, but they have to tell them the history of that pendant. This pendant is what your parents fought for. Your great-grandfather almost lost his life. When you don't know the history of the pendant, you will sell it to those people who are buying Ara Gold, Ara Kupa. And that's the way we trade away our salvation. Because we don't know the true worth of it. That's why you must be a student of history. Book history. This is not something that just, you know, it's not a fiction. It's something that really happened. People go to Nazareth today. People go to Jerusalem today. Where Jesus, you understand, you know, was being lied against. They went to different places like that. They said the holy pilgrimage. So it's something that happened in human history. It's not just a story, a fiction that somebody sat down somewhere So how did I get to where I am today? That is what will make me to guard what I have jealously. And every time I think about the history of that pendant, something touched my heart. I cannot trade you for silver or gold. The pendant may look so rough and haggard, and if you take it to the market, they're going to tell you that what is the how much does it really worth? How many carats? 0 carats. But that 0 carat is something, you understand, that have history. Is something that is precious unto us. May the Lord bathe a militant spirit within you. Amen. Men who are not going to say, who are not going to take no for an answer. You are not out to protect your personal interests. You are out to please the one who have enlisted you into the hand. You are serving his interest. So you are policing the heart for him. People ask you, why are you so much interested? What's your concern? And that's why some people say they are unconcerned. Why? Because things are going on well for them. He said, woe unto those people who are teased in Zion. Why? Because you think that it will not get to you, it will come to your doorstep. And that is what we are paying for today is the negligence of the church over the years. We thought we were making money. That's why you see men of God today, they also go with bulletproof car. Bulletproof car. Secure, heavy security. We are paying for it because we not teach the truth of God's word. We don't want to offend anyone. We don't want to offend anyone. You don't want to offend anyone. But let God touch your heart. Keep saying it to yourself that no one else can touch. There are men who have received that kind of a touch. When Paul had that kind of a touch, listen, nobody could stop him again. He faced opposition, both within and without, among the Jews. People don't even believe him, but he continued. They say, can you just find somebody that enters into the church? That's how everybody says, he has come to arrest us. Nobody wants to listen to his message. That's how. But he continues steadfastly. Someone has touched. Do you have a place where you have been touched? Or you used to think in yourself that, I'm not all that bad. If somebody is even going to serve God, it should be brother so, so and so. You know what God saved him from. He should be in hell today. But sin don't have greed. We all could not pay our debt of sin. And we need to understand this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go back to that scripture. I just want to bring out some things there, then we close tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now David was the son of that Ephratite. Bethlehem of Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and the next was Abinadab, and the third was Shammah. They have the natural credentials and the natural potential. But this is beyond natural credentials and natural potential. It's the battle of life. God wants to hide himself in us to fight this battle. So you need life. And David was the youngest. And the 3 eldest sons followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep. At Bethlehem, this guy is just a shepherd boy. People who have been captain in the army, what they cannot handle, the shepherd boy was the one that handled it. So it has nothing to do with your status. It has nothing to do with your age. It has nothing to do with your noble birth or your place of birth or your class or anything. It has nothing to do with all of those things. It has to do with the life of God that is in you. If you have that life, you will go all out. You will go all out and hold the jaw of the devil. And the Philistines.
Kabana ha shefeleno tosiam redo zevilania tobalenono tosiana. For I bring you to understand the manner of the battle. I bring you to understand the manner of the battle. Even the warfare upon you, which is not a carnal warfare, but the battle ordained of the Lord. The battle ordained of the Lord, and can only be won by the standard of the Lord. And can only be won by the standard of the Lord. Not by anything in the natural. Not by anything in the natural. Not by anything you know to war with. But by following the Lord. But by following the Lord. But by following the Lord. That is where the victory lies. That is where the victory lies. Even the victory to bring down this enemy. Even the victory to bring down this giant. Even the victory to bring down this enemy. It is the Lord's ways. It is the Lord's ways. It is the Lord's ways. And that is what has been painted to you. That is what has been painted to you. So that you will not be a slave to the adversary. Even for your entire life. Lo, it's a day of deliverance. It's a day of deliverance. It's a day of deliverance. For the ways of the Lord are being made known. They are being made known. They are being made known. They are being made known for men to walk in them and then gain victory. Halano shihatakabaneya. Elito adaziva anana tabanianda. For this army is the army of the Lord. Not the army raised by any man, but the army of the Lord. But the army of the Lord, but the army of the Lord, because it is the Lord's battle, and must be won by the Lord's standard, must be won by the Lord's ways. This is what has been given to you for you to gain victory over your adversary.
Amen. Hallelujah. For Samuel 17. And Jesus said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousands, and look how thy brethren fear, and take their pledge. It isn't you go and fight, oh. Just see how they fear. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. What is making him to do that? Something touching. He didn't want anything to touch the glory of God. The moment it comes to that, you understand, something will be stirred up within him. It has to do with the glory of God. So passionate. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name. And out of the heart of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so afraid. Men, you understand? Can you just imagine somebody that carry every weapon? You see, I don't know if you've seen these vigilante people before. You know, there was this guy leading the Yoruba nation in those days. You know, when he goes to battlefield, you know the kind of the galleon he put on like this. And God said, no. It's not in the hand of these people. It's in the hand of the church. We're a vital force on the heart. What the WHO cannot do is beyond the power of the UNO. Instead of people returning to God and begin to seek the face of the Lord, Bible says return to the prophet. And they said the city is well situated, but the water is bad. You know the water? The people. He said, go and show me the source of the spring. You cannot be a corrupt man and now say you want to live a holy life. Filthiness of the flesh has its root in filthiness of the soul, of the when your mind is dirty, you understand, you will live a dirty life. Someone said some time ago, he said, oh, our police are not performing, let's give them more money. I said, no. That doesn't, so it can't solve their problem. They have to be encouraged. Corrupt soul don't need encouragement. It needs cleansing. He said, go and show me the spring. Why is it that they were knowledgeable enough to begin to seek God's face at such times? But instead of doing that today, you see people begin to go everywhere and say, UNO should hear this. This is beyond UNO. They don't even understand Nigeria. You know, the equation of Nigeria is so complex. In fact, when they are doing political science, they should have a case study for Nigeria. You study Nigeria politics. It has defied every formula. It has. Someone said, you know, there have not been money in circulation. Okay, we show you, Pepe. Eko okro le. Adema adibo. Adema wole. Lobato ojuajo. We are the awaited generation. The Bible says the earnest expectation of the whole creation. They are waiting. Wake up. It's not the same day you start school that you will graduate. But you better start on time. Because until God is true with you, He's not going to displace those men. God's principle is displacement and replacement. When God was true with David, He displaced the man. Then He put David. But the church, are we even ready? Ah, good looking faces. Because there is demon in the church. Pastor Thompson, now you talk more. And I was doing my research after the morning message. You understand? When he said there is demon in the church, he said there is demon in the church. I said, there are criminals in the church. Have you ever heard of Achan in the camp? The one who stole the Babylonian garment? The man went to hide that thing that nobody knows. He put it at a place and hide it somewhere. He was an hardened criminal. They were saying, who stole this thing? This is bringing trouble to us. In the church. And he brought trouble to everyone in the church. Criminals. Gehazi, anointed man. Criminal. He was, you know, he was hearing the conversation that was going on between Naaman and Elisha. He said, When he saw that, bye-bye. Oh, there you, Baba. To the glory of God. Yes, because what people want today, that they want to say to you. Yeah. When you go to the hospital, and they treat you, and you pay, then the hospital says, you by force, you have to come. La, I still go in. God said, it's you, not yours. Bible says, he ran after. He cornered the man. Church. Pretentiously, you are saying you are giving people special greeting. You select people you greet after church. And the man say, you are exchanging card, complimentary card and phone number. One of the members of our church some years back, you understand, the exchange card, that guy is a scam. He's a 419 guy. He says he's working with UNO. he will be speaking like an American, but my wife, you know, woman? You see, Bobo, you are American. Say, let's do this. He said, you are American. He said, my parents got a job for me. They just said I should come and serve in Nigeria. They have not paid. They are going to pay me in dollars. I said, I'm going to call you. I said, I'm going to call you. Right? What's your exchange card? He said, well, I'm going to tell my boss. You know, so that kind of a stuff. I'm going to tell my boss. I'm going to get you a UNO job. And they went from Osun State to another state to do interview. A lady to do interview without me knowing. And in the evening, he said, where are the other people that will do interview? He said, I'm not sure they're going to join us tomorrow. And he said, where's your own room? He said, here in this place. He said, no, I think when I go for an interview like that, that is what we do. Or Otoniki Baba Magbo. In the church. Most of us will do more worse than the politicians. Because we have an unrenewed mind. We are not doing this thing because of the glory of God. We are doing it because of our own personal glory. I know the prophet, as I've been watching, he has said, oh boy. Okay. And he's so anointed, in quotes. He has every other thing to convince people. The guy collected the money successfully. He said, my master said, I should. You know, there are brothers like that. Who will go and use the name of the pastor to toast a sister. Even, you understand? It's not be moving close to you before. You be so close, you be carry your bag. You will carry your bag, and you are going, and the sister will just say, she's not too close, my pastor. Ah. If you don't have the mind of Christ, error law. Because you don't know what is in the mind of that person. So when your enemy is carrying AK-47 and you are carrying a ding gun, you know you are in trouble already. In Philippians 1, he now said to them, he said, in nothing be terrified by your adversary. And these are people who don't have physical weapon. What is it that they were counting on? He said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It doesn't matter what the devil is bringing from outside. You have the greater one. You have the superior life. That is the life Jesus has come to give to us. That is what you have come to receive when you come to the church. You have come to receive life. Our responsibility is to connect men, you understand, to life and relationship with God. And you have to go out there to influence others for life and relationship. That is the only material we are dealing with. It's this eternal product. That's why some people don't want to believe it. You understand? If I have a product I want to sell, you understand, but you cannot see it. It's eternal product. Okay. Otiyewa. But this is real. That's why you need strong convictions to be able to market Christ. You have to be militant about it. Irrespective of what you are going through, what happened to you, you understand? You wonder why Paul was so, you understand, was so rugged that nothing could ever stop him. They threatened with imprisonment. They said, I know what I'm carrying here. I know my responsibility towards him. I've always been longing, you understand, for a time when I'll be able to reciprocate his kind gesture towards me. That is the love of God that is at work in my heart. So we are to run the devil out of town. It's not to say that we begin to pray, Amanatitewa. The devil is the one that should be crying and say, oh, he's tired of us. These guys, they are giving me trouble. They are giving me trouble. So we are a generation of people called to shut down the gates of hell. So you must be willing, you must be ready to do this in your life. The Bible says Jesus Christ, in the days of his flesh, he said he learned obedience. He learned what? Obedience. And for 30 years, God prepared him for 3.5 years assignment. And he said, a body have thou prepared me. You are not listening for the fun of it. You are not here for the fun of it. It may look like nothing is happening. Don't look for the values of this apostolic work, you understand, in terms of material reward, you understand, but certain spirits, you understand, have been injected into your spirit. And you see, when that spirit begins to take full possession of you, you will learn to reject what others will lovingly accept and receive. You will learn to say no to sin and deny all ungodliness. This should be from the inside of you. It should be from the inside of you. The way he gave up himself, the same way we are giving up ourselves to the service of God. Hallelujah. Psalm 50, verse 5. He said, he talked about, you know, those people who are his servants, who make a covenant with him by what? Sacrifice. If sacrifice of someone have brought you to where you are today, you understand? Then you must be ready to sacrifice. For life to come, there must be a sacrifice. So when you carry your cross, you understand, on a daily basis, you understand, that's the sacrifice. You are living a life of self-denial, that is sacrifice. When you are saying that you are dead to the world, you understand, that is sacrifice. Pastor Thompson made those things clear to us in the afternoon. The life I now live is a life that is fully committed and devoted unto God. It's God's own life. Glory to God. Glory to God. You can shut down the gates of hell. And if you cannot shut down that gate of hell in your own personal life, you understand? Then you cannot do the same unto others. You cannot be a light shining in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. You'll just be like a well without water. He said they promised them freedom when they themselves are slaves of depravity. They are slaves of depravity. What they have is, you know, words that can, you know, make you to become so sensational and emotional. They can make your head to swell, but they cannot reach your soul. So when they themselves are slaves of depravity. So it has to start from you. So the preparation that God is talking about, the training in righteousness, has to do, you understand, with learning obedience. I've come to realize that Abraham himself is not just the father of faith, he's also a general. He raised army, even in his own house. These are slaves, these are nobodies, you understand. People will reply the devil. So in case there's any problem, you understand, those guys will go. 318 of them. So when they had the news that, you know, something is happening, you know, in Sodom, you understand? They dispatched those guys to that place. And they brought everything under control. And at the end of the day, you understand, the king said, oh, let me give you some. No, let's just say you are the one that make Abraham rich. When you look at chapter 15 of that scripture in Genesis, you know, God now begin to speak to Abraham. In other words, use this guy, you didn't disappoint me. We're a church that must not disappoint God. When God wants somebody to speak up, to occupy tangibly till he comes, God says, Father, just sit down there. We will take charge here. That's right. We should be able to throw out our chest. I said, we are there for you. So if we can block those things from happening, so you may not be able, don't start with the nation. But the features of eternal life that God is building into your life today. The life, that's why he said to them in Philippians, say, nothing be terrified because I know what I'm carrying. And you know, God knows the weapon that suits every battle. He will not allow you to make the choice of that weapon. He said you shall be like a tree planted by the side of the river that bringeth forth its fruit in due season. There are times that all you need is endurance. That's why I said our weapon of war, they are not carnal. They are strong to go because they are not your weapon. They are God's weapon. That's the fruit of our life. That's the life of God in us. You have conquered greed. You have conquered the life of, you know, I mean, the life of, you know, a corruption. You know, those things doesn't freak you any longer. You are not seeking your own interest any longer. Those things don't move you any longer. That's the life that God wants to build into our life. And that's what God wants us to come to the church to receive. It's impartation of life. Impartation of life. Preparation for the battle, you understand, for the conquest of the heart. The next thing is not that, okay, I'm going to be the chairman of my local government. No, get the life. Because when it starts, you may not be able to watch the end of the film. You understand? You may not be able to, you understand, because you cannot stand it. But when the life of God has been imparted, you have received that divine life. You have been trained to receive life. You are not terrified. You are not moved. He said, this shall, to you shall be a token of salvation and deliverance. But to your enemy, it's a sign to them that, oh man, this we are meant for destruction. Why am I using this scripture? For you to know that our weapon of war, they are not carnal. We are not to go out at our own expense. God's supply. That is God's supply to your life. We must be ready to receive God's supply. You would rather want God to give you money than to give you this supply. If I have money, I will contest for election. If I have money, I'll be able to address some things. No. Glory to God. The next thing is not address some things, but develop the life of God. Grow in grace. To the extent that you can manage your own life, it can start with you as a person. When God's will begin to find expression through your life, you can block the devil's access way into the heart. You know, he needs someone to operate. Somebody has to cooperate with him. Don't be an accessory to evil. The first time, you understand, that Satan break through into the heart was through Cain. And you see the spirit of murder. Because somebody said, you can master him. But he will not stand in the position where God has placed him. He will not put up with God's verdict over his life and put, you know, and deal with his corrupt nature. God said it is not all about your gift. It's not all about your donation. It is all about the nature you have. It's not just that day. Murder have been in the blood of Cain. And God must have been looking for every opportunity to deal with this thing in his life. So one day you will kill somebody. He said, well, when I cannot take it any longer, I fired the gun at him. You know, when you were young, he said, oh my, he been waiting for you. He says, ah, why are you talking to me like that? Why are you, when pastor talk in the church, you know, and say things like this, why are you like this? Everything, you just flare up and everything. You see it as an insult. But God knows how to set you up so that you'll be able to manage your anger. So that you will not go and cool off at the police station one day. Someone said to me recently, he said, how can you know a good wife? I said, very easy. Because your wife will always be a balance. So I suppose, son Lori, then God will now give you a wife that is your match. He knows that even when your insanity, you don't want people to know. You understand? So he sees it as a weak point. You know, anything we are doing as husband and wife, it should be within us. And everybody will know, the other flat will know. Then you begin to learn patience. But you don't want trouble. You pray that trouble will not come. You need trouble to reveal how impatient you are. So that you can learn to deal with impatience in your life. So when you get to the place, when you get to the throne, you will not out of impatience do some stupid things like some of these people are doing. It's time for you to block the devil's access way through your life. It can start from you. It can start from you. When you learn obedience, you can say, no! Everybody is doing it. I'm not everybody. I'm not everybody. It is customary. You understand? We share this thing every weekend. You know, there are things in different parastata that they share every weekend, and you are taking it. And when God moved you to that office, you said, no, we are not sharing anything again. We don't want anything again. Let everything stop. All of those things, must stop. In those days when you make a budget for a parastatal, you understand? It doesn't have, there's no change. They will distribute the change among themselves. They say, how much is left? Send it back to the treasury. He said, but we don't know who will steal it there, but in this place, now that I am here. He said, every change, we have to return it. It has to be accounted for. You set the standard of honesty, transparency, and integrity. He said, it's not customary. He said, we don't do that here. People will arrange meetings for themselves to travel abroad, and they receive extra code. He said, no. Such a relevant meeting, no more extra code. I said, oh God, how are you going to make it? I'm not here to make it. I'm here to serve the interest of the kingdom. That's the kind of spirit we are being made up of. That's the spirit of the armies of God. That's why God said to David, he said, I've not come to you with sword and arrow, but I've come in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, that you defy. That is the Lord's battle. It is not your own battle. So God will fight for himself. And you have enough spiritual resources within you to fight the battles of the Lord. You don't have money, but you have integrity. You can fight the battle of the Lord. Naboth don't have money, but he has integrity. And when the king asked him, can I exchange this thing for you and pay you in dollars? He said, God forbid. You are waiting till the time when you have money before you begin to take your stand. To stand where God is standing, we must block Satan's access into this world. We must defend this kingdom territory, you understand, from satanic invasion and intrusion. How many of you know that the devil is trying to invade the church now? We must set a new standard. I said, no way. We'd rather do it the way God wanted. He said, lay no hands suddenly on any man. But now we lay hands anyhow. As long as we produce money. Men have to be proved and tested. They have to be men of honest report before they become leader in the church. He said, it doesn't really matter. We need to give them leadership position. Maybe that one way, leadership position in the hand of a corrupt man, uncircumcised in the heart. That pastor has a special interest. But in this place, we are going to follow the word of God. We're going to follow the word of God. It may look as if as nothing is happening in your life. That's going to be for a while. There's something that is waiting for you over there. You are not doing it because of the now. You are doing it because of the hereafter. You have signed out your life to serve the interest of the kingdom of God. Stop it from your own hand. You may not be able to save your world. You understand? But you can reclaim your territory back unto God. In this place, it is righteousness that will reign. We will only do what God wants. We stand where God is standing. We stand where God is standing. With the life of God within you, you can deal with the monster that is called corruption. It's beyond what you can naturally handle. You understand? Even so, before, because you yourself, your hands will be soiled. They will lie against you. They will package some things. They will do all manner of things. You know what to expect. So that you will know how to prepare. Let God do a thorough work in your life. No place for premature exposure. No place of you saying, God, it's my time. God is the one who decides. He said, go and show yourself unto here. You may be gifted and talented. And God said, get out of the scene. And God may bench you today. And when the time comes, he said, go and show yourself. Because most of us don't think about the fact that we can't face the demon that is outside there. We don't have enough spiritual resources within us to do that. We may have the muscular strength, but this is not the battle for muscular strength. It has nothing to do with power or mind, but the spirit that resides on the inside of you. Thank you, Jesus. I block demonic access way into my life. You may find yourself in a place where everybody take glory in beating their wife, where people share testimony of how they have been so shrewd and cruel, but say, no, the reign of the devil must not continue. I will block satanic access to my life. I shut him down. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail. Shall not prevail. Nakoto pari agaloto se. Karamakotoria dabo. Kelelelo kushia na malako soto. Era makato poria la badose. Haro koto doboso. Likalamako shotoligene motoso. You have given your life to us as a sacrifice. We have also made a covenant with you by sacrifice to serve your purpose. Lana kosotori alaba. He said, present yourselves unto God as a living sacrifice. Jesus willingly and willfully surrendered himself so that it can be the propitiation for your sin. He allowed his blood to be shed. He said, the Father is happy with me. The Father loved me because I lay down. Nobody forced me. This is not by force, not with a sense of duty. Lest you begin to shift the blame of your failure on others and your regrets. Oh, pastor taught me that and I did what the pastor said. No, but it's coming from the place of your personal and functional relationship with God. Thank you, Jesus. Ilarada koto sopori ala la bakata. Haroboko sotori ala ba. Ilalomoko sotori ala. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Every other thing must go. And let it be Christ and Christ alone. This is the day that the Lord has made. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. So in the days of your power, your people shall be willing. Thank you, Lord, because we are having grace to make your will to be our will and your desire to be our desire. You are the only one that we desire. He said, I beg you, brethren, in the name of the Lord, present yourselves to God as a living sacrifice. Jesus has life in himself. He has the will of his own. But he surrendered his will unto God. He said, I lay it down. Nobody forced me. What we are sharing with you in this season is not something that is being enforced. Not something that somebody is forcing on you. But we are trusting God to use this word to work in you, both to will and to do. So that God can strengthen your desire to walk in his will. When the hue of your desire is settled, then you have what it takes. He said, when there is a will, there is a way. Can strengthen your desire. As a living sacrifice. In Yoruba, they call it Ebo Aye. Let's just say that's what we were taught in the church. No, what we were not taught in the church. Reflect on these things and see that it's coming from the place of your personal understanding of your relationship with God. That's why I say in Ephesians 6, say, be strong in the Lord. You must be strong in this, in your relationship with Him and the power of His might. Don't just increase in the power of his might. You understand? When you are not strong in your relationship with God. Because your life will be a fruitless life. You can endure, but you cannot endure to the end. You cannot stand your ground to the end. But when you know that you are standing in the place of his love, you have a relationship with God. And what you are doing, you are not just picking it up. Nobody is forcing you. You don't need to get to church before you do this. You don't need to get to church. You know, you begin to take your stand in your place of work. Some of you will have to take your stand in such a way that you'll be sacked. You get to say, the next day you come, they're going to be retrenchment letter. You say, Pastor, this is what you have caused. No, that's the love of God. The love of God constrains us. It should be something that is flowing from your heart. Because you love God more than silver and gold, more than every other thing. You see, you have a contract you are pursuing. And somebody we have to go and bribe somewhere, your salary. We take the hijack the contract from you and say, Pastor, I'm losing money. No, you know why you are losing money? Because you will not compromise. That is what Eboaye. Umomo, Ori, you make your choice that God, I'm going to serve your will. God will not coerce any man with words. God will not force his will on us. But when you have this understanding, you begin to take your stand for God. Block demonic invasion and infiltration, even into the rank and file of the church. Protect your territory. Protect your family. Glory to God. Draw the line. Put the blood on the lintel of the house. Lift up a standard. You say, others are not doing it. Yes, Christ is our standard in this house and in this family. We do it the way God wants it to be done. He said, oh, when you do this, this is what we have to do. We are going to follow the tradition. He said, no, we follow the tradition of the scripture in this house. You don't know what you are doing. You understand? You are protecting your family from the spirit of witchcraft. Because we are taking your stand. You may suffer the loss of love from some people, but it doesn't really matter. Who is greeting you and who is not greeting you? You are still happy. Even when you face rejection, you don't feel dejected. Raise your hand up to him. And I want you to just say that word from the quietness of your heart. What I'm doing is Eboaye. Oye mio. I let it go. Even when it involves something that will cost me my life, I let it go. Even when it seems as if I'm losing money, I let it go. Even when it seems the opportunity, you understand, is, you know, it's like slipping out of my hands, let it go for the sake of integrity, for the sake of Christ. They see you rejoicing. I say, God, because God had won. Even when you are humiliated, God is exalted. Father, we thank you so Lord. I give you Eboaye. Let nobody challenge you and begin to tell you. I said, why are you part of that church? Why are you? Is that the kind of place you should go? Is that? He says, Eboaye. Look at all the demands that are placed on you. Demands of consecration and holiness. Eboaye. If he can give himself to us, I lay down my life. I sign out my life for his purpose and for his will to be done. Father, we thank you. We thank you. Lord, there is a generation from this congregation and even those who are hearing us from afar off who will be willing to make covenant with you by sacrifice. Many will swear to their own oath and yet they will not change. If they know where God is going, that is where they are going. They will be rejoicing that they share in the suffering of Christ. They will always tell others to obey you or to obey God. Let there be a rebirth of this militant spirit in the house. Let there be a rebirth of this militant spirit in the body of Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.